The Slurry Storm Podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemeth.
On today's podcast with Play Alert, we'll be hearing from Neve Cooper. But first, Gavin Baker, the MD of Surrey Sports Park, is going to bring us the latest update and what it means for Surrey Sports Park following yesterday's government announcement.
Hi everyone, it's Gavin Baker, Managing Director of Surrey Sports Park. Firstly, I hope you're all keeping well and enjoying the lovely sunshine. I just wanted to give you an update based on what the government have announced in the last few days regarding the leisure industry. I think it's pretty honest that to say that we're frustrated and disappointed that sports facilities and gyms are still not able to open. I just want to reiterate and remind you what's been said. So indoor gyms, indoor sports facilities and swimming pools are still not able to open for the general public. However, we are still working hard to make sure we are ready that when the moment comes, we can open our doors and allow our users back in as soon as possible to do what we think is vital, keeping fit, keeping healthy, which is great for your mental health and your physical health. What the government have announced, though, there's further relaxations on outdoor activity, which is in addition to back in May when the government announced that outdoor tennis courts could be reused. Our plans currently didn't include that at this moment and was supposed to be part of a wider opening. However, we will now be looking back at what we can and can't do and if it's possible for us to open some of these outdoor spaces, of which we've got some vast and fantastic outdoor spaces, then we will do that. However, please note that we can't guarantee any activities or any timeframes at this moment until we get further information from the government and our national governing bodies. It's important that we keep not just our staff but our users safe, and therefore we need to ensure that we are fully prepared and ready before we can open. As such, we can't confirm any dates. However, please keep following our social media channels for more information. They'll not just provide you with things around what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, but there's also some really interesting activities and information for you to take part in and keeping yourself engaged with the sports park. Please take care. Please keep exercising with your family and friends, and hopefully we can join you in those physio activities very, very soon. Take care.
Keep an eye on Twitter and surreystormnetball.co.uk for more information as and when we have it. As we know, Jess, Neve and many extended members of the Storm family have been involved as part of the NHS efforts to control COVID-19. Neve spoke to the Surrey Storm podcast and explain how the last couple of months had been.
The last couple of weeks actually have been much better. Over in Northern Ireland, things have actually begun to settle down a wee bit. I had the pleasure, or well, depends how you look at it, of working in the COVID centre in Belfast. So I work in an A&E, and our A&E was switched around to be the main COVID receiving hospital, and at the start it was very busy and we didn't really know what to expect, and everyone was quite anxious and nervous. And thankfully I can sort of report that over the last couple of weeks things have settled down quite a bit. We are getting significantly smaller numbers of patients through the door, and even the ones that are arriving, a lot of them aren't actually suffering with coronavirus and have other medical conditions that are causing them problems instead. I, as a result, I'm actually covering in one of the other main hospitals in Belfast, in A&E there, which has become very busy, just back to normal really with all its normal stuff. So it's been a story of two different things, you know. On one hand, it's quite quiet with the corona, which is great, but on the other hand, everything's sort of picking up. But I quite like being busy, so I haven't really minded going over and working and feeling sort of like things are getting back to normal, so it's been good.
And for the benefit of anyone from the NHS there, I'm not ringing you mid-shift, just for the benefit of anybody listening. Are you still on those long 12-hour days then? Shift patterns.
So I actually luckily avoided those. A&E doctors generally don't work 12-hour shifts. Don't know how we've managed to avoid that. I used to work them whenever I was an F1 or a first year doctor and an F2 second year doctor, but I have since working in A&E, the longest shift we do is a night shift, which is 10 hours. So I've been really lucky. I'm actually not sure my brain would be able to function past 10 hours.
You were mentioned obviously
a little bit of dangerous.
The fact that you've managed to change to a different hospital as well, so that'll be something that you've seen as part of this whole COVID virus, just the ability to change and just all muck in, for want of a better phrase.
yeah, that's pretty much been the theme for the last, for this year, I suppose. We haven't really got a massive amount of choice, but I think every doctor really hasn't complained at all. We've just moved to where we're required. So I work in a trust, which is the Belfast Trust, and I normally just work out of one site or one hospital, and now we're cross-covering. So every week I work maybe a couple of shifts in one hospital and a couple of shifts in the other hospital. From my point of view, it's quite good because it allows me to keep my skills set up rather than just seeing coronavirus all the time. And obviously then helps doctors that are just primarily based in the main hospital. So it has been good, and you just have to go where the need is. And at the minute, all the other medical conditions are sort of taking over again, and that's where it's very, very busy. Should coronavirus kick off again, they'll probably pull us back and we'll be full time back in the coronavirus centre. And to be honest, I don't really mind where I work. You know, I quite enjoy working regardless of what it is, so just sort of have to get on with it, don't you?
It's maybe something I don't really want to ask, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Have you seen coronavirus firsthand?
I've seen a lot of it, yeah. Unfortunately, we were very lucky in Northern Ireland not to have the drastic numbers of deaths that we've seen across England and Wales, though every single death that we've had here or in England and Wales is just devastating. And I have seen a lot of very sick patients come in through the hospitals that I have worked in, and each one of them has been, you know, very unlucky to have caught the virus. Some have done really well and some have not done so well. I suppose it's been a period of time where I've been able to sort of reflect on lots of different things in my life and think about, you know, things that are important and, you know, things that maybe I would have worried about prior to this that aren't so important.
How do you think Northern Ireland would benefit from that separate lot of controls?
So we obviously have a devolved government, so our government will take some advice from Westminster, but ultimately make their own decisions around policies and rules. So ours has varied slightly from what has been going on in England and Wales. We also have obviously the benefit of being an island, which has been quite fortunate. And the Republic of Ireland went into lockdown before the UK. So the virus spread, I suppose, probably began to halt slightly prior to whenever it was sort of officially locked down. So I think we had the benefit of that and were maybe slightly ahead of the game.
Have you got the adequate equipment, like PPE, ventilators? Has that been okay in numbers?
For us, thankfully, yes. I feel like I have been very well protected, you know, and in the hospital I work in, I mean, I can't really speak about the volumes and stuff that we have. I wouldn't actually know that, but I've never had a point in time where I've been short or felt like I can't go in to see a patient because I haven't had the appropriate PPE. So I know that they've had to go through lots of different types of PPE because there's been shortages of different types as we've went through, but they retest you and make sure that it fits appropriately before you're put into any kind of clinical environment where you're going to be at risk. So thankfully we haven't had that problem here either. Whether or not that's the same across all the hospitals in Northern Ireland, I'm not actually very sure.
We see the clapping taking place and the gifts that have gone into the ward as well. Anything stand out in particular? Has there been a individual donation of cosmetics, that kind of thing?
Cosmetics. I don't know if that's maybe a wee hint. I must say, I have been overwhelmed. Everyone in the whole hospital should be overwhelmed with the generosity of the general public through this time. I mean, people are generous as it is when it comes to giving gifts and putting in letters and cards and stuff to us, but this last 3 months, honest to God, I have never been so shocked at the amount of stuff that's been dropped in, be it food, lots and lots of takeaways. There have been cards, thank you letters, the clap. I mean, I can't really get over it, you know. And I suppose there was an element of me that found it kind of hard to justify at times, because I felt that I was very lucky that I was in a job and was getting a salary compared to, you know, a lot of small businesses and stuff that were donating stuff to us maybe weren't getting the business that they normally would get. So I suppose I was sort of torn at times about, you know, how willing I was to accept these things. And, you know, I know we as a hospital decided that we would raise money for the food bank here in Belfast, sort of as our way of giving back and thanking everybody for all the support that they give us through all that time. So yeah, I mean, it's been phenomenal.
We spoke to Emma. Obviously, this is not only a teammate, but somebody that potentially thinks that she might have had it as well. It just brings it home even more, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I know Emma. I actually hadn't. I was speaking to her after I'd seen it in the paper. I mean, I've been speaking to her prior.
And heard the interview, thanks very much.
And the interview, and heard the interview, obviously, yes. And I had been speaking to her, but I hadn't realised that she'd been sick. I think it was prior to her coming home or around the time when she was coming back to Belfast, just before lockdown happened. And it sounds like she was really struck down by it quite hard. You know, I think she was in bed for a good few days and stuff, and I suppose it just goes to show that how easily this virus is spread and infected, and the harm that it can do even to people with no medical conditions. You know, it's not a very nice virus.
Let's look to the future, and obviously major venues changes afoot just to make things a bit safer. When everybody gets into Surrey Sports Park, we've already seen online some of the changes they've had to make, and got to be honest with you, watching those Netball World Cup repeats, a little bit of tears in my eyes, and not just because you should have won a few more games either.
Oh, don't bring that up. When I saw that you posted about the Malawi game, I was like, don't.
Well, I haven't watched that yet. The crowds will be back, but my goodness, it's going to take time to get back to that kind of level, isn't it?
I know, it just, I was actually chatting to Mickey about this week. I think she tweeted about it, just with the comeback of the Premiership this week with footballers back, and I think she'd watched a documentary or something, you know, showing everything that they've put in place to allow the safe return of their players and staff, to allow all of the matches to go back ahead. And I think it just really shows, like, you know, we think that we're coming on as a female sport and we're pushing further, but I think this coronavirus is really showing that there still is big gaps between elite men's and elite women's sport. You know, they are able to fund having twice weekly tests, they're able to fund having, you know, their training facilities and their playing pitches all fumigated before and after of training sessions and matches. And ultimately, you know, if we go back to training, it's all dictated at the minute very much by when facilities are open, and a lot of those facilities are university or public facilities. And when they do open, you know, it is just a sports hall. There isn't going to be fumigators coming in. We aren't going to be tested at that level that the Premiership players are. And it's going to come down to, you know, very basic social distancing measures. And I suppose it just sort of shows how difficult it would have been to have tried to get the league up and running at this time. But at the end of the day, I suppose we can all just hope and pray that we get back to that level at some stage, even if it means playing some matches behind closed doors or something at the initial stages, in the hope that, you know, that we will get those crowds out again, because, you know, it was really just all kicking off for us all, and I would hate to think that we would lose that momentum.
It's still a noticeable void between women's and men's sport. Easy.
Yeah, it's and you sort of think, you get yourself into the thought process of like, well, we're getting closer, you know, that gap is closing, and then something like this hits and you just see the dramatic differences that mean that, like, I mean, there's very few women's sports that are back. In fact, I think it's ANZ, the only with netball that's back, and that's because New Zealand did so well. And it just sort of shows that we need to really be pushing even more for women's sport to be closing that gap, and I just hope that this doesn't widen it again, but we'll have to just see what happens, I suppose.
Health and fitness clubs where I am have got thermometers so that can read people's temperatures before they use the equipment.
Well, that sounds very fancy.
What have you been doing in the meantime to keep your fitness up?
I have just been utilising outdoor facilities, so I'm really lucky that there's a running track that's only just around the corner from where I live. So I've been using it to do running sessions that have been supplied by the Northern Ireland S&C coach and from Tom, our S&C coach at Storm. So I've been doing those. I've been doing lots of bodyweight exercises just in my garage and that. And there's a local CrossFit gym that reopened that I was a member of in the past, and I've been able to go out and do some outdoor sessions with them just literally in the last 2-3 weeks. They've managed to reopen on an outdoor basis, so I've been lucky that I've sort of been able to just get myself by and keep tipping over just with sort of bits and pieces. And then this week we were lucky enough that the social distancing rules now allow us to meet 6 people outdoors at once in Northern Ireland, and our Northern Ireland netball S&C has restarted face to face, so we're just meeting like 6 people in one session just to do basic running and change of direction, just to slowly build that back up again in the hope that there might be some competition towards the end of the year. So it's been nice, I suppose, even though we've been doing similar stuff that I would have been doing on my own, it's nice that we're able to sort of do it with other team members, which just, I suppose, gives a wee bit more motivation, because I think that's the most difficult thing at this time, really, is forcing yourself to go and do something on your own.
Would that have been the picture online with you, Caroline Fee and Draney?
Yeah, that was us. We were all.
Tell us more, or is there nothing to tell?
Genuinely nothing to tell. We worked very hard. There's a good few of us that are in Northern Ireland based, and Caroline, Fee and myself were keen to try and stay, you know, as fit and in line with all the players that are in England. And then we have Lisa and Kira and Emma, obviously, who live in Belfast as well, and they've come along. So it's been a nice group of six, and we've all been sort of pushing each other. And I must say, I've worked much harder in those two or three sessions that I've done with them than I did in any of the sessions I did on my own. So, yeah, no, it's been nice getting back together with the girls.
And finally, before we speak again in a couple of weeks, which I hope you're all right with, what about that support from not only Storm and Northern Ireland players in this time, but you will have had little messages online as well? Just, have they kept you going?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been similar to all the free food and stuff we had. I've been, like, you know, got lots of messages from different people asking after my well-being during this time and checking in and seeing how I am, and from people that I don't know and from people that I know really well. And it's been super. You know, there's days through this pandemic that I'm sure is the same as everyone else, where, you know, you just think, is this ever going to end? Is this, you know, what life's going to be like now? And, you know, you can get yourself right down in the dumps, and sometimes you just get a wee message just at the right time, and it just sort of checking in, seeing how you are, and it just picks the mood right back up again, and I suppose puts things in perspective that, you know, yes, this is going to happen now, but it's short term, and we will all get through this eventually. We'll have to just get through it together, kind of thing. So I appreciate all the wee small messages that are coming from everybody, be it friends, families, and a few fans, and, you know, I always welcome them. But yeah, I'm really lucky to have a good support team around me.
Niamh, thanks a lot.
No problem, you're welcome.
Thanks as always for your support. I survived the podcast without talking about 2-point shots as well. And Emily didn't really want to mention this herself, but she's going to be venturing into socially distant and virtual coaching as well. So if you're based in Sussex, any netballers who'd like to arrange a shooting masterclass, or maybe a small group, just want Zoom-based coaching sessions around technique, that kind of thing, get in touch with her direct at wise1Emily on Twitter. And thanks as ever for your support.
Ready? The Surrey Storm Podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemeth.